But we're talking about money in a different space and growing money in a industry that's been existing for years, that is thriving for many years, but also at the same time, so many people don't know about it. And it's the idea of a stokvel. And I asked you this last week, and I said, do you know anything about a stokvel? Have you interacted with a stokvel? Are you part of a stokvel? Did you grow up in a house where your parents or you were seeing stokvels become a norm? Are you afraid of getting into a stokvel because you're just like, man, I don't know too much? I remember last week, actually, somebody messaged saying, I'm looking forward to January. That's when the stokvel plays out and it's going to pay all the children's school fees for the year. And we've heard some incredible stories, but also some painful stories. But there'll always be stories that will need to be heard when we're speaking about an industry that is worth billions of rands with over 800,000 stokvels that are in operation. And joining me right now is a lady who knows all about this. She is an award-winning author and stokvel expert, Sipanisa Lengolo, joining us on the line to tell us more about stokvels. Sipanisa, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Drive 326.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is so good to be chatting to you, Sipanisa. This is a conversation that I honestly want to tell you I've been looking forward to for a while, because stokvel is one of those things that I wish I knew about it earlier, but also at the same time, I wish I knew more of how to leverage it and take advantage of it to be able to grow further. But let's talk to someone who might be hearing stokvel for the first time. It sounds like something they've heard. If you're in South Africa, you've probably heard about it once or twice. Yeah. Maybe help us understand, what is a stokvel and how exactly does it work? Is it just friends borrowing each other money, or what's actually going on over here?
So stokvel is very popular in South Africa, but I think the perception has evolved over the years. As you know, it is like an old traditional way of saving. But to put a exact definition of a stokvel, it is actually a proudly South African way of saving, where a group of people come together, pull their money, usually on a monthly basis. Then that money is distributed in different ways. It could be paid out to members on a rotational basis, or when members are saving for a specific goal, whether it's for investing, for funeral, for groceries. And stokvels are usually based on trust, accountability, and shared goals. So making them a very powerful community-driven way to save or invest. I know a lot of us grew up seeing people buying groceries in December, or in January, people paying each other out, like with the example that you just put out, in order to pay the school fees for the rest of the year because they've been saving the past year via a stokvel. So basically, it's just a shared goal among people. And but now we are seeing people using it even for beyond groceries and funeral and rotational. But we can get into that later.
You know, Sipanisa, the question then becomes, and this is something that I remember a few years ago, I used to ask myself, what makes a stokvel so different from me saving on my own? Like, what are some of the things that I lose out on in creating my own savings things on my own? I put the same amount of money in the bank account and I save it. At the end of the year, I buy some groceries or pay the school fees, etc. What difference? What's that added thing that the stokvel adds to the picture?
I'll tell you three things, and it's my favorite because I'm also in different stokvels for these reasons. One is accountability. A lot of people struggle to saving alone. So you'd be like, I'm going to save for this, and then you keep on postponing. Or you actually save, and then you are tempted a few days later to withdraw because you have found something better to do with the money. With the stokvel, you can't do that. You have people that are holding you accountable. You probably have an agreement in place that you'll only withdraw at a certain time. So that's the accountability that it brings as a benefit to a person who saves alone, especially if you struggle to save alone. Secondly, is affordability. So even in money psychology, you can just think about it. If something costs 50,000 and then taking out that 50,000 as it is and actually buying it via then paying 10,000, feels, and I put feels in inverted commas, much better. A stokvel brings that okay, even if this thing is 50,000, I can save for it 10,000 with people that are holding me accountable, and then eventually I'm able to get into it. So in a way, it does give it gives that affordability of, I don't have a 50,000 lying around right now, but I can club together with somebody eventually to get that, to get to that 50,000 without that disturbance of finding some emergency or anything like that. So that's how the affordability that a stokvel brings. And then thirdly, for me, the most important thing that really this generation and should be using stokvel for is access. Things that a lot of times are almost are set aside for people with capital, for people with big lump sums. You can actually do it via clubbing together, or what we like calling stokveling for it. So if there's an opportunity that, again, say that wants 50,000 and you only have 10,000, you can literally get four of your other friends that can have 10,000, and you're able to get into that opportunity rather than saying, oh no, let me go borrow. Oh no, let me let go because I can't afford it. So it brings that access to capital with collaborating with other people rather than borrowing, or rather than giving up on opportunity. So raising that capital in order to be able, even if you are putting money together to put something into something that's gonna make you even more money, so it gives that access. And for me, that is the biggest benefit out of a stokvel, being able to access those things that are usually set aside only for people with big lump sums, when you can do it when you collaborate with others. So those are my things.
You know, I'm so glad that you make mention of the one of access, because I want to kind of lean a little bit more into that one to go, That's very different to how many of us know stokvels. Groceries, school fees, paying building a house or whatever. But maybe help us understand some of the different things that stokvels could do. Because now when you're making mention of, if there's capital of 50,000 rand needed, that sentence, capital of 50,000 rand, is used in very specific financial platforms that I don't always think stokvel fits into, whether it's buying a property, buying a business, or whatever it may be. What are some of the other ways that you've seen? Because you've done a lot of work with communities and different other stokvels. You spend quite a bit of time studying what works, what doesn't work, what makes people trust one another in stokvels. What's the thing that breaks trust? What are ways that stokvels can grow beyond 15 containers of mayonnaise at the end of the year? What are various ways of stokveling that has been leveraged well that you've seen going, hey guys, I think we've only just seen the tip of the iceberg when we think school fees and groceries and funeral. There's actually this much more that you can do with stokvel in light of what you were saying with a capital of 50,000.
So basically, stokvels are a backbone of the township economy, basically. So there's billions of rands that are circulated around stokvels. I mean, to be exact, it is averaging around 50,000, and it could even be more. But what we have seen as a gap is that people are actually not, there's not enough people that are using the model to solve the funding, to solve the investment. Not because people don't know. It's knowledge, it's development, it's financial literacy, and it's not optimizing the stokvel to work for actually modern things. But we are seeing now this revolution happening, especially after COVID. So the past 5 years or so, we have seen stokvels. I've been a part of a stokvel that has bought two franchises, because we were 100 of us, we were able to put 15,000 each, and we bought a franchise. We bought a franchise cash. We have bought student accommodation stokvels. I've seen stokvels also do amazing things in terms of community development, where they put money together in a community and actually renovate and not wait on the government, child development centers like creches. So these are the things that I'm seeing, the modern stokvels that people are collaborating and clubbing together to invest in businesses. The one that is really, really coming up is stokvels borrowing small businesses in the townships without the red tape, and in, for your spaza shop to be able to buy the bulk and have cash flow borrowing it from a stock fund. And my favorite one, entrepreneurs or creators coming together to fund each other's projects, instead of saying, I don't have for it. So there's many ways. Actually, I always say, you can stock fell for anything. I recently came across ladies that go buy wigs in China. They club together and they get the wig so much cheaper than that they would get it here. And they resell it and make almost markup onto it, almost 200%. So you can... It's changing perception around stock fells are only for groceries and funerals, to what can we use this old traditional model to solve our current problems. And these are some of the examples for that.
Man, this is actually, I'm almost certain there's someone who's listening here going, oh my goodness, I've never imagined a stock fell. I'm imagining so many people saying, I've never imagined a stock fell being used for so many different things. A stock fell being used for, like you're saying, buying wigs and coming back and making it into a business, or even so much so. I think you're rightfully saying it, you know, and I agree why it's your favorite. Stock felling to help each other's passion projects that we sometimes feel like, man, it's not taking off because I've got no capital. And now you've got a team of people that are saying, hey, we will help you build that capital. Before I let you go, Palesa, because we've ran out of time and I've still got so many questions, I guess that's why I have to get your book to be able to get the answers. It's a question of, for someone who's listening right now and they're going, okay, this has caught my attention. How do I formalize it in a way that we are all protected and not just take advantage of the clubbing together and the interest rate on the combined amount and not my own, and but now I run the risk of doing something that's not protected because it's not registered well. What's the next step for someone who actually says, this has piqued my interest, I want to go ahead and get a stock file going with a couple of my friends?
So firstly, it's definitely, there's a principle that is always needs to be there, that is always been there, which is trust. So you need, at least from a beginning stages, you need to find people that you can trust. It can be two or three people. I know people always think Stockfeld, there needs to be 100 of you. There's great Stockfelds that started with just the two of you, you and your brother or you and your friend. And then everybody then joins after that. So there needs to be that mutual goal and mutual trust first and foremost. And in order to get into doing serious things with a Stockfell, obviously you have to then deal with serious people. So your agreements in place, like, so you need a constitution that will be reviewed or drafted by a legal person or a lawyer. You need some sort of an accountant that will be looking after your books. The reason why you are, if you're going to be playing with the big boys, you need to be also operate like a big boy. So you cannot be just using a one pager and still operate it like it was 50 years ago. So you do need to first and foremost document a formal agreement that will be signed between the people that you're going to do in this with them, and then having this entity being able to open an account in the entity's name, because it's like a company, it's just a stock fell. So doing the basic compliance will be what's going to protect you, because that's what's hold should anything go pear-shaped. So it will be important to do it the right way just from the beginning, in order to also increase the trust for anybody that wants to join you in the journey. So it's no more just an informal, let's just agree verbally. Make sure there's something in writing.
Yeah, that is so good. Palesa, thank you. This has been so insightful. Thank you for your insight and for doing the work of highlighting this massive billion-rand industry that so many of us don't get to know so much about. And I think we can be able to look out for your book. Where do we find your book, just by the way?
It's currently from Takealot, but you can also get it from me. I am on Instagram at pali_lingolo. Drop me a DM and I'll give you an email where you'll be able to also order. But the quickest way to do it is Takealot.
100%. It's Palesa Lengolo, award-winning author and Stockfell expert, joining us on the line to tell us all things around Stockfells and how you and I can make some right decisions right now to take advantage of the beauty of community, trust, and really leverage the power of being able to grow together.